Well, greetings, friends. Today's talk is going to be on the Sundari Sutta. This is a sutta that's particularly relevant for today's political climate and all the upset over the past election, and it's really everything that's going on in the world today. And the situation in the world today is very, very similar to the situation that the Buddha lived in. There was a lot of strife, a lot of political intrigue, an awful lot of stress and unhappiness. And this is what the Buddha sought out to develop an understanding of, and it's what he taught. The worldly conditions that contribute to stress and our own contributions, and how to put an end to that. So the Buddha was staying at Anathapindika's monastery, Jita's Grove, near Savatthi. The Buddha's reputation and those of the monks had grown, and they were much revered. They were recipients of much generosity and were treated with honor and respect by the local community. There were a group of wanderers from another sect that were not revered or honored and did not receive much support from the community. Being unrefined and stuck in self-referential views, they were envious of the Buddha and the Buddha's Sangha. One of their group was a young woman, Sundari. This unrefined group went to her and asked if she would do something to benefit their group. Sundari replied, "I would do anything, even give up my life, to benefit all of you." "Well, Sundari, we would like you to travel often to Jita's Grove to make it appear to the townsfolk you are staying with some of the monks." Sundari agreed. Once it became well known that Sundari was apparently visiting the monks of the Buddha Sangha, she was murdered by members of her group and left by the side of the road to be discovered. This group, suffering self-inflicted confusion and delusion, then went to King Pasenadi Kosala, feigning ignorance and concern. "The female wanderer Sundari has vanished. We cannot find her anywhere. We think she may have gone to Jita's Grove." King Pasenadi instructed them to go to Jita's Grove to look for Sundari. They retrieved Sundari's body and mounted it on a litter to display to the town folks. From street to street, they carried the decomposing body, shouting to all that could hear, "Look what the shameless followers of the Sakyan son, the Buddha, have done. Though they claim to follow a true Dhamma, they are evil and murderous liars." When the monks of the Buddha Sangha returned to town on their alms rounds, they were reviled, insulted, and harassed. Returning to the Buddha, they recounted their experience. The Buddha reminded them of the Dhamma and then tells them to remain calm, as this difficulty will not last long. After a week's time, this will pass. When you find yourself treated unfairly, remind those that they suffer greatly who continue ignorance and lies as much as the instigator. Both are the same and will suffer the same fate of long-term confusion and suffering. And doesn't anything relate, or doesn't that so relate to what's occurring right now? There are so many people that are so upset, and they're blaming an individual or an office for their upset when the upset is occurring in their minds. And so the solution has to occur in their minds too. This is precisely the point that the whole Dhamma, the whole teachings of the Buddha hangs on, that we're responsible for how we feel. We're responsible for the views we carry. If we're stuck in an ignorant view, we use the Eightfold Path to develop right view. Not blame society, not blame worldly causes and conditions, not blame temporary situations such as the current president as the cause of our suffering. It's in our minds that suffering arises, and it's in our minds that lead to all the troubles in the world, including what may arise from an individual president or any other individual in the world. I'll continue. For the next week, the monks repeated this phrase. When confronted by the misinformed townsfolk, eventually the reaction and disturbance in the minds of the townfolk subsided, and they realized that the monks of the Buddha Sangha were innocent of any wrongdoing. The townsfolk understood that they had been taken in by those protecting a false Dhamma. After a week, the conflict ended. The monk said to the Buddha, "It is amazing, astounding, having practiced restraint and speaking only the truth, the conflict is over." In other words, the monks of the Buddha Sangha didn't take a position against the other Sangha that was trying to discredit them. They didn't feel the need to protest violently. They simply continued with their Dhamma practice, and without pushing back, without reacting to what was occurring, in a very short while, the conflict resolved, and at least within the Buddha's mind and those that were following him in his Sangha, they were able to maintain that refined mindfulness that continues lasting peace and happiness. And that really is the message of the Eightfold Path in relation to what's occurring today in the world. I see that there's two viewers that have joined. If you'd like to say hello and where you're from, you could do so in the chat box. And I just mentioned here that there's a talk posted on the website that I gave that came up impromptu at a Dhamma class a few weeks ago, and that's called Post-Election Mindfulness, and that also speaks to this. Let me finish what the Buddha said to conclude this sutta. The Buddha responds, "Those unrestrained, with no knowledge of the truth, sling arrows at others like one at war." And isn't that really what's taking place in the world today? We're not slinging bombs, we're not shooting bullets at each other, but we're shooting hateful views. We're lobbing these bombs of our ignorant views at each other. Somehow we're hoping, it doesn't even make sense when you look at it, but we're hoping that by expressing our rage and our hatred at each other and at a particular individual or his office, that somehow we're going to resolve hate. And that completely contradicts the Buddhist teachings. It's understandable that it's occurring in the world because the world at large is a reflection and an expression of the First Noble Truth, which states that dukkha occurs and that it occurs because of individual craving and clinging to ignorant views. So we can't really expect much in the world to be different. But what we can do is to take to the Dhamma, develop a lasting peace in our own minds, to understand right view and how that reflects to the rest of the world, and to understand the three marks of existence in relation to what's occurring. And that what I mean by that is that every situation is impermanent, including if the focus of our rage and hatred and upset is on the president or even on the individual that's holding that office, it's very easy to remember that that is a temporary position. It's also wise to understand that we don't have a king, we don't have a dictator or an emperor. He still has to govern, hopefully, within consensus through the Congress. And if we continue to be upset and we don't like the job that he's done, we get to vote him out in 4 years. But even more so, what's most important, moment by moment, as our life unfolds, no matter what it is, no matter if we're living in the most beautiful utopic times or if we're in times of great strife and great unrest, meaning currently, the most important thing to do, in fact, really the only thing that we can do, is to take to the Buddha's Dhamma, to develop the framework of the Eightfold Path as the framework for our life, to become integrated with that. A life of integrity means that we have integrated the Eightfold Path. And we practice a useful and effective meditation practice whose purpose is to deepen concentration solely for the ability to then hold in mind the refined mindfulness of the Eightfold Path. And that really is the most important thing. That's what the Buddha is teaching to his monks. And hopefully, and I'm sure that it did, that this teaching's carried over now to the opposing group that were trying to do so much damage and actually committed murder, thinking that somehow that hurtful act would support their own beliefs in some way. It's obvious that just cannot work. The Buddha realized this. He also understood the cause of other people's upsets. And so he taught the Eightfold Path for that sole purpose, to develop lasting peace and happiness. So that's the talk today. I see that there's one viewer. If you want to say hello, I'm going to try to invite you on screen if I can. I'm not sure if this is going to work, because this is only the second time I'm using this platform. But if you can join me on screen, respond to that prompt. It won't work. Sorry about that. So our talk next week will be at the same time. I hope you can join me. and have a peaceful day. Thank you for listening. For more Dhamma talks and articles, please visit crossrivermeditation.com. We rely on donations from our listeners to provide these talks. If you have found this talk helpful in developing your understanding of the Dhamma, please consider a donation at crossrivermeditation.com. This talk is copyrighted and is made available under Creative Commons 4.0 license. Please visit crossrivermeditation.com for use and distribution information. Peace.